read that was a reminder of your past. So we'll call you the Sergeant in Arms today. Thank you, everybody, for reconvening. And I also want to say we won't have simultaneous translation ready for you tomorrow. It's Saturday. I forgot. It'll be at our next hearing. We will attempt. Thank you. So if I could now ask Nereaha Pereka, if he would like to come to the table. And that is submission number 587 on page 78. Good morning. The button and bring it quite close to you. Yeah,
yep.
So that everybody can hear. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to state that I'm here speaking on behalf not only of myself, but also of Ngāti Unuku Kōpako Iwi Trust, and also I have the mandate to speak on the Ruma Tāmarae Trustees for this process. If I could have that noted, please. Okay. I'll just read through my submission. The Te Arawa Standing Committee failed as it became obvious they had no teeth. In reality, it was the bare minimum the council was willing to provide. In other words, a form of a symbolic gesture. It has been stated by the current mayor that there was a need to review the council's current policy of consulting with Māori due to the Environment Court's ruling and criticism of the council's methods dealing with iwi. No one wants to turn up to meetings which are pointless, therefore the Te Arawa Standing Committee was no longer meeting the needs of Te Arawa. And by recognising this fact, the current mayor must be applauded for her efforts to address these concerns. Genuine iwi hapu engagement is what this proposal is trying to achieve. It's not a takeover bid to gain an advantage, but an attempt to make a partnership more meaningful and significant for both parties. MMP is a democratic process, and they have less MPs who are not elected by the people. This council has appointed unelected members of the public to committees before and are able to do so under the Local Government Act 2002, as stated by Jean-Paul Gaston, did I say that right? Also within the Act, that should be noteworthy, are clauses 4, Treaty of the Waitangi. In order to recognise the respect, the Crown's responsibility to take appropriate account of the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi and to maintain and improve opportunities for Māori to contribute to local government decision-making processes. Parts 2 and 6 provide principles and requirements for local authorities that are intended to facilitate participation by Māori in local authority decision-making processes. Clause 81, contributions to decision-making processes by Māori. 1. A local authority must A. establish and maintain processes to provide opportunities for Māori to contribute to the decision-making processes of the local authority. And B. consider ways in which it may foster the development of Māori capacity to contribute to the decision-making processes of the local authority. The Te Arawa proposal was put together and ratified by Te Arawa, of which I see it as a step in the right direction towards forming a more honest and sincere partnership between both parties. Again, I must acknowledge the Mayor's foresight and willingness to forge a more constructive and beneficial partnership for all concerned. I just want to add that over the few months that this proposal has been out there in the public, I am very surprised of some of the councillors and their view, especially coming from the pro-democracy society. I'd like to say something. It comes from a famous singer-songwriter, Sam Cooke, and it goes, "It's been a long time coming, but a change is going to come." Now I ask those councillors that you either come on board or be left behind, because a change is coming. We here sit here wanting to go forward. I have always said that in my submissions, even talking about the REA. It's all about working together. If you have not got the people on side, then I believe we are going backwards. Thank you.
Open for questions. Councillor Kent will go around the room.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Mr. Marika. I'm very interested in your comments concerning the TRO Standing Committee and the fact that you say it had no teeth and really the council was just playing lip service to the views of TRO. Is it your view that that was always the case, or I've heard from a number of people and other submitters that in reality this only occurred at the very later stages of the TRO Standing Committee, and that prior to that the TRO Standing Committee was actually functioning very well? What's your view on that, please?
Okay, so when you say functioning very well, was our view being heard? I believe that in the later part of the Standing Committee, there were people there that were willing to stand up for Tarawa. We have always been trustful of people, very trustful, maybe to our demise. But I do believe that for us, for myself, to sit there and take it, no more. I will not sit there and take it.
Thank you. And
so, do you actually believe that the Chair of Standing Committee was actually functioning properly or not earlier on in the paper?
I believe there is a need for change.
Answer my question.
I believe I have.
That, okay. We'll take that as an answer. Councillor Gould.
And Chair, thank you, Naira, for your presentation today. With the TRO proposal, the proposal is to 14 people to get accepted on the voting system, 14 people get appointed to the board. Then out of the 14 people which get successful to the board, two of them are appointed to one council committee and two are appointed to another council committee. Do you think you're going to get the right Māori iwi people on the right committees?
I think it's a start. You've got to start somewhere. I mean, where is the point that you, where you start? I believe that at the end of the day, the final decision belongs to the council.
Councillor Hunt and then Councillor Bentley.
Thank you.
Just aware of time too.
Thank you. Thank you, Nariaha.
It's my eyes. It's all right.
Charles. What additional benefits do you see in Te Arawa debating at the committee level?
I think it's not so much Te Arawa. I believe it's a Māori voice. We have people that are now learned, I would put it, that have been to the universities and they've got the skills, but they also have the skills of Māoridom. I can't tell you what that is. You know, to be a Māori is not about just speaking the language. It's also having the heart. And I'm pretty sure that the people we put in there will have that heart.
Okay. Councillor Bentley, and then we'll try and fit in Councillor Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Perica. How can we balance the interests of mana whenua with the democratic rights of all Māori and all citizens?
Yeah, I think you guys are missing the point here. The Local Government Act provides for that. Why are you not providing that? It should be the question. I feel that you are not providing that.
Thank you. A follow-up from that type of question. During this process, we've had a number of submissions which suspect that this is a takeover and a power grab by Te Arawa and that it is undemocratic. What's your collective view? And could you please tell me, in general terms, the number of people you're representing here today, please?
Okay. On my beneficiary list, I have about 2,500 people. On the hapū list or the marae list, it's obviously more. I could suspect around about 8,000 people. If we talk about takeover bid, I don't see it as a takeover bid. I see it as an attempt to work together in partnership.
Mission, and is it your daughter with you?
It's my niece.
How lovely you came. Thank you.
Kia ora.
Thank you. Richard Deverson. Thank you, Richard. If you come to the table, do bring the microphone quite close to your mouth so that everybody wants to enjoy hearing you. Thank you.
I can't guarantee that, Madam Mayor. Good morning, Madam Mayor and councillors. May I start by saying that I feel that it might have been more appropriate for this contentious issue to be chaired by a neutral outsider, but as you are in the chair, I accept that as it is. I voted for 12 of the 13 councillors that we have, and at the time I thought that the result was a very balanced council as far as age, culture and experience was concerned. The council does not appear to support the idea of Maori wards, a move that would have given all Maori on the roll a say. Now you favour a move that will give less than 50% of local Maori a say. I'm disappointed that the present council, which includes three members of Te Arawa, who I have great confidence in, are felt to be incompetent as far as representing Te Arawa. I say no to the pro-democracy two-committee proposal and no to the Te Arawa proposals being considered. The council has a legal requirement to consult all ratepayers and has a record of giving opportunities for all people to make submissions. None of these people or groups making submissions receives financial funding to have their views heard. The problem lies possibly with the poor consultation skills shown by council. Too often, a decision appears to have been made prior to the hearings, and you're only going through the motions required. My motion is for you to put aside these proposals favouring Te Arawa and concentrate on the real problems facing Rotorua, namely the problems of debt and unaffordable rates caused by funding items that are outside the core function of council. Thank you for hearing my submission.
Thank you, Mr. Deverson. I can assure you, after 12 years of chairing select committees in Parliament, I learnt how to be an independent chair. I hope the public feels confident with that. But we'll go to questions. Councillor Sturt.
Thank you, Alan, for your submission. Just reiterate where your stance is. You're opposed to the pro-democracy two committee systems.
Correct.
And you're opposed to the Te Arawa.
Correct.
Proposal, but you support the creation of separate Maori wards.
No, I'm saying that that was an alternative, that if we are talking about giving local Maori a voice, we should rather go down the route of Maori wards. It's not one that I personally support, because I feel that the democratic process has given us three very competent members of Te Arawa on the council, and they can, in actual fact, express the views of their people. And there are other people that have relationships with Maori that would also represent their view.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Alan, for your submission. Are you in favour of the Te Arawa Standing Committee, which has been going since 1993, and what's your views on extra focus groups, you know, like Pacific focus groups assigned to, say, the different populations around, you know, which have come to Rotorua, like the Asian group, the Asian people, or the South African people, or the island people?
I think that is quite divisive as far as the community is concerned. I think that if you're going to go down that track, you have to have something for age concern, all the sports bodies, etc., etc., and we will have more outside committees than we have councillors. I think that if we're going to have Te Arawa representation at any stage, if they feel they cannot come through the ballot box, then they should actually fund the election or processes of getting somebody to represent them at different committees. That it's not a case of the ratepayers funding the election process, which is outside council, but rather for them to fund it themselves. If I belong to Grey Power and Grey Power have a view that they want to bring to council, they should fund that themselves and nominate somebody to then come to a hearing of council and have their views expressed.
You mentioned in your submission that you believe that there were three of Te Arawa dissent on the council at the moment.
Yes.
And you must have voted for at least
vote for all three of them.
You voted for all three of them. Did you vote for them because they were the right people for the job, or you expected them to reflect Te Arawa's views on the council?
Unfortunately, I voted for all people on their ability and not according to race or other factors that might have come into it. I didn't even vote for people because they were similar age to myself. It was all based purely on their ability.
Merit. And would you like to name the three that you have are of Te Arawa descent?
Ms. Tapsell over there. Trevor Maxwell, who's not here today, he had the courtesy of phoning me that he couldn't come this morning, and Mary Pecker Tate. She not.
To rebut, yep. and thank you. Councillor Hunt, you've still got time.
Thank you. Just to follow on, thank you, Alan. So if, just following on from Councillor Sturt's line, you voted for these people not because they represented the Te Arawa view, because I'm not aware that they campaigned on that.
No.
So what's being asked here is specifically a Te Arawa view. So there's an assumption that the people on the council are here for the Te Arawa view, but then there's also an assumption that the minute they start talking from that Te Arawa view, they're then criticised for not representing the whole of the community. So it's a bit of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. So I'm not sure, and whether you're even able to answer this, do you think that Te Arawa elected those people? Because my understanding is that the representation in the last election was about 11%, which actually goes to show that the rest of us elected those representatives, and I believe we elected them for, as you have said, for their general capabilities, not for their Te Arawa viewpoint. So what's being asked here is a Te Arawa viewpoint, which legislation would suggest is missing and has paved the pathway to supply that. Would you agree with that?
No, I find that difficult to accept, because I think that in the case of Te Arawa, from the previous speaker, he's saying that they can make a contribution to Rotorua as such. And in the case of all councillors, there are times when you're going to wear different hats. That I know a few years ago when we were talking about the hockey fields, there was a councillor here who had that as her brief, that she was pushing that barrow. We have somebody else who's interested in arts possibly pushing that barrow and so on. That in the case of any group like Te Arawa, Or like myself, if I have any strong feelings about anything, I actually speak to an appropriate counsellor and try and get that person to push my barrow forward. So I think that in the case of counsellors, they sometimes have to wear more than one hat. And the hat that you should be wearing is to represent all people of Rotorua. And sometimes it might be the Chinese community, it might be the British-born people, it might be Te Arawa. But you've got to be flexible, that if you think they have a cause, you should push that cause forward.
Thank you. The voice of sense, really, isn't it, sometimes comes through, and we hear different perspectives, and we have to make sense of the different perspectives that come to the table. So thank you for coming to the table.
Right. Thank you.
We now ask the next submitter, and I'm not sure if Mark is here. Ah, thank you, Mark. Didn't see you sneak in. Good morning.
Good morning, councillors.
I think you'll be well heard. So for councillors, it's page 81, submission number 640, and welcome, Mark.
Good morning. I'm against race-based discrimination of any sort. My ancestors suffered, fought, and some of them died in World War I and World War II. They were defending democracy, and they were trying to protect minorities in race. Democracy has a long history. One man, one vote. And I believe in that very strongly. There's been over 2,000 years of history in many countries around the world that have supported democracy. It may not be the perfect system, but I think it works better than anything else we've ever come up with. As the Americans like to put it, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that is why all the sitting councillors are here. They've been elected by the electors of Rotorua to represent all the many groups in society. And there are very many groups in this society. I've been dismayed by the lack of public consultation in this whole process and a lack of publicity. I think there's been considerable confusion between the TAPP and the TPPA. The council pamphlet was definitely biased in the way information was presented. The council officers have come to predetermined conclusions in the statements that they made in that, and I'm not happy about that. The council website questions were spin-doctored to produce a particular outcome. I think the question, do you support in principle the intention to effectively partner with Te Arawa, is worded in such a way that you want to get a particular conclusion from it. The Local Government Act was drafted by Parliamentary Council, and it's done with very careful wording. The pamphlet made some statement that about involved in decision-making. And that phrase, involved in decision-making, does not mean exactly the same thing as involved in the decision-making process. It's a fine line, but it's an important one. The Local Government Act mandates a democratic and effective local government. Specifically, it says in one part, a local authority should conduct its business in an open, transparent, and democratically accountable manner. I think it's very important that this council works in that way. Adding extra Te Arawa votes is not democratic, in my opinion. I think the councillors that are here should be representing all the sections of community. And I'm concerned that if someone is appointed with a vote on council, how do you actually get rid of them if they're not doing the job properly? I have the option of voting for the sitting councillors at the last election. I will have the option of voting or not voting for the sitting councillors at the next election. And I think that's very important. Mention was made of co-opting members to council. The purpose of co-opting members to committees is to introduce a skill to a committee that the committee does not already have. And I believe that there are people already on council who can represent Te Arawa effectively and represent other Maori groups effectively. I'm also concerned about the cost of the proposal. Estimates have been in the range of $1 million. And I think at this stage, with the considerable amount of debt that this council has, that this is a great concern to ratepayers. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll open for questions now. Councillor Sturt.
From the Act, because you used some language that I don't think is involved in the Act. It says a local authority must establish and maintain processes to provide opportunities for Māori to contribute, not sit on the sidelines, but contribute to the decision-making processes of the local authority. What's the best way of complying with the law, in your view? A policy board that advises council.
Sorry.
Any further questions? Councillor Gould.
Thank you for your submission, Mark. Your point, is there any other option? If there was another option, like the Māori ward system, voting for special merit, you know, the Māori's in a special ward system for the Māori people, would you be in favour of that?
I don't think that a ward system is going to be a great advantage. I'd actually like to see all reference to race abolished in this country. We're New Zealanders. We all have to live here and we all have to live together.
Just, I have a question, Mr. Franken, of you. You talked about democracy in the beginning of your own. In your view, is Te Arawa a minority grouping in our community?
I don't have statistics on who identifies as being Te Arawa and who doesn't.
Mm. Thank you.
But there are a lot of groups in our community.
Thank you. Okay, there appear to be no more questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeffrey Brennan in the audience. Oh, we've had him. Kerry Cox-Anua. So for councillors, submission number 670 on page 82. Good morning.
Kia ora, my name's Kere Cooksonur and I'm of Ngāti Uinu Kōpaku Ngāti Rangi Te Ariri descent. I'm in attendance today to register my submission in support of the Te Arawa Partnership proposal. In my view, the proposal could have gone further. This said, I think that the proposal itself is a step in the right direction and is certainly a better option than the previous Te Arawa Standing Committee model, which I think we all agree has some serious deficiencies. My hope is that sensibilities prevail and that Te Arawa can look forward to a new model of engagement with council that's not only durable but also lasting. Whilst I remain optimistic about our future, I do have some concerns about the capacity of some councillors to act responsibly and in this regard appropriately discharge the duties and obligations we've come to expect of those elected to public office. I refer to the manner in which some councillors have chosen to publicise their personal views on the proposal during consultation. Now, this has been extremely disappointing and I believe has exposed the council to significant risks associated with the potential for future legal challenges down the track. I'm particularly concerned by those councillors who have chosen to align themselves with the Rotorua pro-democracy society. The pro-democracy debate has been largely unhelpful in my view. It's achieved very little beyond creating a platform for incoherent messages and has merely served to polarise mainstream opinion. In truth, the Rotorua pro-democracy society case is not that compelling. primarily because its commitment to democratic ideals has been shown to be highly questionable. This was evident when the proposal was first formulated prior to consulting with Te Arawa. As you'll be aware, at that time, the proposal was embargoed. Most of us understood that the imposed confidentiality requirements arose as a direct consequence of internal democratic decision-making within council. In the end, a total lack of respect for democratic process was demonstrated when council's own decision was circumvented altogether and the draft proposal leaked to the media by someone from within the Rotorua pro-democracy society's own ranks. Unfortunately, those flying the pro-democracy banner demonstrate very little understanding of how democracy actually functions at a council level, particularly within the broader context of a legislative framework which incorporates the treaty and its principles and specifically imposes obligations on council. Again, the incorporation of the treaty into local government legislation is a function of parliamentary democracy. And so if the Rotorua pro-democracy society was in fact a bona fide pro-democracy campaigner, we might expect its members to be championing the Treaty of Waitangi, but unsurprisingly, their references to the treaty have been all but silent. This highlights a major gap in the competency of local councillors who seem confounded by any level of treaty discourse. Blissful ignorance or willful blindness, whatever the case, their lack of awareness in regard to such matters is what lies at the very heart of why the engagement requirements of council's relationship with Te Arawa is so poorly understood by councillors. Every councillor should be aware that rights to democratic equality extended to all Māori under Article 3 of the Treaty. Article 3 encapsulates what are essentially citizenship rights that provide Māori with the opportunity to participate in public democratic processes on the same basis and on equal terms with those enjoyed by our non-Māori counterparts. It's true to say that within this context, democracy can be said to be a relevant factor in any consideration of Māori participation within local government. The same, however, cannot be said about public engagement with Te Arawa. The reason for this is simple and worth briefly noting. Over and above the democratic equality all Māori were guaranteed under Article 3 of the Treaty, the ongoing ability of Te Arawa to continue exercising its tinoranga tiritanga was also guaranteed under Article 2. Councillors must understand that the nature of engagement with Te Arawa is framed up not in terms of Article 3 obligations to Māori, but rather Article 2 obligations to mana whenua. Article 2 clearly defines this relationship in terms of a partnership and clarifies the nature of engagement requirements this necessarily implies. What the Rotorua pro-democracy society has failed to get its head around is that Western ideals of democracy have little or no relevance to the nature of the relationship or level of engagement anticipated by Article 2, particularly as regards to Te Arawa. So in the cold light of day, the fundamental problem here is that the Rotorua pro-democracy society has got itself caught up in a debate about democracy when democracy has no relevance, no context and no application. I referred in my introduction to some major concerns I have with the way some councillors have chosen to air their personal views throughout consultation. I mention this because New Zealand public administrative law, as well as international principles of natural justice, require council to roll out a consultation process that is fair and reasonable and free of any undue bias. Clearly, councillors who publicise strong views one way or the other on the subject under consultation may find it difficult to rebuff future claims of bias, because this strongly suggests they approached consultation with a predetermined view regarding the Te Arawa partnership proposal. My view is that these councillors have done us all a disservice, being directly responsible for unnecessarily raising the risk profile of the council. This has undermined the integrity of the consultation, which opens council up to question and potentially further disputes regarding the outcomes arising from the process it has formally undertaken. The real travesty here is that the Te Arawa Partnership proposal has been so politicised that the real issue at hand has been completely lost on all of us. Throughout a period of quite protracted and intense public debate, Te Arawa has not, and to this day, still does not have a legitimate voice on council. This, for me, is the real issue and reflects the situation that must be resolved with some urgency. The critical question is not simply a matter of asking ourselves whether this proposal or that proposal is intrinsically democratic. I believe what's required is a much more intelligent and sophisticated approach where we ask ourselves, do we as a community have the courage to commit ourselves to a proposal that presupposes a model of engagement reflecting a local government response that can be said to be specifically tailored to fit the particular circumstances unique to Te Arawa? I'm not suggesting such an outcome is something we ought to strive for, but rather is something we cannot afford not to. This is because a democracy that cannot accommodate Te Arawa is nothing short of what is generally described as a political hegemony. What I urge you all to consider very carefully, then, is that a political hegemony is one form of democracy that must be averted because the prospect of our most vulnerable local communities falling prey to the tyranny of the majority is a future that each and every one of us has a moral obligation to resist at all costs. Kia ora.
Thank you, Kitty. And now time for questions. I'll go that side first. Councillor Sturt and then Councillor.
I hear what you're saying. Can I ask you, have in your connections with Te Arawa, as a respected iwi and hapu of Te Arawa, have you been consulted on the pro-democracy model at any stage? And I think you might have been one of the people who rang me and said you have difficulty sitting in front of the four councillors who have worn the banner of the pro-democracy, which you made quite clear in your submission that you have real problems with. So would you like to elaborate on that?
No, I wasn't. Essentially, I wasn't formally consulted on the pro-democracy model, but I think that, you know, one of the important issues here is that, you know, what we need to be looking for is a, you know, Te Arawa model for Te Arawa. You know, and there's been much made about Māori councillors representing the views of Te Arawa, but effectively none of the Māori councillors currently on the council campaigned on a Māori ticket. So in my view, none of them represent the views of Te Arawa. And I think that, you know, that's the real, you know, important thing here is that at the moment Te Arawa hasn't got a voice, and there's an obligation on this council to resolve that problem.
One more question. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you for your presentation, Kitty. During the approximately 12 months that this was out for consultation with Te Arawa, did you at any stage include other Māori groups?
No, effectively, well, my understanding of it anyway is that that this is a model of engagement for Te Arawa. So not specifically for Māori more generally, that this is a response to the Council's Article 2 obligations to establish a partnership model with Te Arawa.
Thank you for that submission. Sorry about my microphone. So now we have Cliff Lee. submission number 696 on page 83. Good morning, Clifford. You know the microphones. People at the back like to hear.
Right, well, I'll speak right up then.
Good, thank you.
Good day, councillors. Never in my lifetime have I thought that I would be in front of this council having to speak concerning a plan that would allow unelected people to have the same rights on council committees based on their ancestry. That's called racism. I'm not lost for words, but this has left me astounded. We are all old enough to know what happens when special privilege is given to one group over another, and what this kind of policy has done to many countries around the world. I believe that the response that you have received from this proposal, both written and in the large number who wish to address you regarding this issue, is a strong indication that dividing the community creates more problem than it solves. A good illustration is what's happening in Baltimore this morning. I'm not sure that they want that town burned down, but they're doing a pretty good job of it. And this has been the legacy of various laws giving special privilege to Europeans over African Americans, and they are legitimately upset about it. Division within communities almost always have a negative effect on the economic progress and grow within that community as a nation as a whole. This proposal is not just divisive between Maori and European. It also divides Maori from themselves. There are a number of tribes in New Zealand that would dearly love to have a free ride into council. This, of course, will be used as an excuse for that, and the idea that you can run a democracy when you have people with pre-imposed rights to sit on, whether it be the Rotorua District Council, Parliament, Environment Bay of Plenty, or otherwise, when you have that type of an arrangement, you no longer have a democracy, and in fact, the quality of the decision-making by the body tends to deteriorate rapidly. The issue here for you is, of course, that once you allocate two, there will be a call for four, for six, for eight, for ten. In all kinds of areas, you'll have people coming in for employment saying, I'm Maori. I deserve a right to work at the district council. I'm Maori. I have a right to sit at the council chamber. I have a right to do a lot of things because I'm Maori. And you have indicated that by allowing non-elected people to come forward and sit on a council committee. At the present, about 25% of the council is comprised of Maori councillors, and it is my understanding that most are Tiarua descent. This has always been so. We have always elected Maori to the council. Rotorua is very good at that, and certainly there has never been a call that Rotorua did not allow or discouraged Maoris from standing for council. If Maori want to be a part of the council, it's fully open at every election. Go to it, and good luck to you. Indeed, in my time on council, the best, most intelligent councillor we had was a gentleman named Peter Tapsell. Now, my understanding is that Peter was a Maori, but he was an excellent councillor. He was also a very experienced man, had spent a lot of time in Europe, and excellent. If we could get five or six of those on council, we wouldn't have things like this coming up because they would say, don't be stupid, this is not the way things are run. At present, 25% of the council is comprised of Maori councillors. It is my understanding that most are of Tiarua descent. This is in proportion to the population within the Rotorua district. By adding another two unelected Maori councillors, standing committee would cause disproportionate power to a particular group in our population. If the council creates a disproportionate representation, it could be challenged by other groups within the community, demanding equal rights also to have representation on standing committees without having to go for an election. I would like to ask, why has the elected members of the Rotorua Lakes Community Board not been offered these same privileges? If this is not blatant discrimination, then I don't know what that is. I wonder how many of those elected Lakes Board members are feeling about this issue or this proposal. This undemocratic proposal devalues elected memberships, elected members who have had to work and earn the right to represent everybody where the important debating issues take place, and the decision on this level is very rarely challenged at fall council. Therefore, it is important that only elected representatives, which are accountable, are given speaking rights and voting rights on the standing committees of council. By being accountable to the ratepayer, they can be replaced at the next election. I have grave difficulty seeing that a Maori councillor that comes on under the proposal would have any chance at a free and open election. And certainly the idea that council would ask the person to stand down is simply not possible. Elected members can ask advisory groups to make presentations or recommendations, and we do quite often, to the appropriate standing committee, as is done in the past, i.e. Tourism Advisory Board, Chamber of Commerce, various ratepayer groups, Tierra, etc., which has worked satisfactorily. Please note, these groups are and should be self-funded, not by the ratepayer. In closing, I would like to state that it is not in the interest of the district to have special privilege to one group and ignore others. It only creates division and resentment among citizens. One would not show favoritism to one of their children over the other, even if they were children from different partners or adopted or whatever the circumstances. Rotorua is a family of very diverse people and cultures, therefore all of its citizens deserve and must have equal rights and opportunities. I ask the council not to dilute democracy, which our forefathers fought and gave their lives for in the past. Option 2 and 3 corrupt the democratic system. Everyone in the district should have the right to choose or replace those that make governing decisions. Council has truly managed to divide this community in such a way that it may take some time to bring us together again as one. Do not continue down on this divisive path. Sorry about my bad reading. Anyway, carry on.
Councillor Hunt. Thank you, Cliff. I just wonder, how can it be a disproportionate representation when it's allowed for specifically under Article 2 and also Section 81 of the Local Government Act? All those other groups you mentioned, none of those are specifically legislated for.
Yeah.
So can you explain how that could be disproportionate?
Oh, democracy. Don't put too much faith in central government. They write a lot of things that are quite unbelievably...
The laws and legislation.
I'm aware
of that. So that guides our community. We all have to put faith in them, whether we agree with them or not.
We also have signed innumerable conventions with the UN concerning human rights. All right? I have shown these conventions to various people. They are in power, and yet this council is totally ignoring them. Now, this is... these are the important things. The first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution had to do with individual rights. All right? Now, that's not a small thing. And yet, we sign commitments with the UN And they'll say, well, that's, you know, it doesn't make any difference. We'll go ahead and we'll have a little bit of discrimination here. It'll be all right. So you need to come up with your history a bit. In fact, you all do. So in fact, that you actually know what you're doing and what the background is. As I say, Baltimore is not enjoying what's happening there now. In Virginia, it was not enjoying the problems when I was there. These things need to be addressed, and you don't address them by giving one group disproportionate power over another group.
And that's, we've gone over time, but it was a good fair session. Sorry, Councillor Kent, but we're over.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Righto.
Lost. Oh, it's Bobby Dittmer. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning.
Do bring the microphone close to your mouth as possible.
Right.
And we're looking at submission 724, page 86.
Okay.
Over to you.
Well, I don't have a lot more to add to what I've already put in my submission. My strongest point is the cost of this proposal to us ratepayers, which I understand the council has a big debt at the moment, and do we need to create more? I'm not against the Te Arawa proposal because they're Maori people. I am of Te Arawa descent. I do whakapapa into Te Arawa very strongly, probably stronger than a lot of people in this room. So, you know, I don't have a lot more to add to what I already said.
Yeah, you happy for questions? Is there a question? Is Councillor Gould?
Thank you very much for your submission, Bobby. You put, is there another option? You said rather the Te Arawa people focused on the elderly, but do you feel there is other options out there, you know, like the Maori ward system or continuing the community board?
As I said in my proposal, my submission, I would rather they focus on their own people, look after their own people.
La Hunt?
Thank you, Bobby. Just in your submission, you've got the reasoning that it didn't work in the 1880s, the Fenton Agreement, and it didn't work in 1993 with the Te Arawa Standing Committee, so it won't work now. Could you just explain why you thought it didn't? All those agreements didn't work?
Well, doesn't it explain itself?
No, I'm not sure. So who's...
I just read that in the submission. Yeah, you know, that those future, I mean not future, past.
And I'm just wondering whether you have any thoughts on why those agreements in 1880, the Fenton, and why the Te Arawa Standing Committee, why those didn't work? What your ideas are around why they didn't work?
Well, I don't really have an idea. They just didn't work then, so why will they work now?
I'm just... Okay, thank you. That's fine. I'm quoting from Bobby's submission here.
I think it's a fair question.
It's
all right, Councillor Kent. We're getting there. Any other questions? Councillor Weeper.
Oh, good morning, and thank you very much for coming in. So I sort of gained from your submission that you are really concerned about ratepayer money, and that's quite a current theme coming through. The idea is that we only spend about what we spend now, and I know some people think that's not true, but that's the intention, and we do understand that. Perhaps Te Arawa may consider putting some money toward it if we went down this path. Do you think it's reasonable to spend what we currently spend on the Te Arawa Standing Committee?
Well,
with the hope that it could be improved, I think that's the idea, because we would like to see it improved.
The Te Arawa Standing Committee?
Yeah, not necessarily that, but just the way of a model of representation. That would be about the same amount of money that we have spent in the past. So not adding to what...
I I can't understand why we need so many of these committees. We have a mayor and councillors, and we have many, many years gone by, who look after our city. Why do we need all these other groups coming in?
I think just, I'm not sure if you're aware, but we have a tourism committee, we have a Grow Rotorua, and they are paid they with your ratepayer money.
Mm.
We have a Lakes Community Board, and half of their costs are paid with your ratepayer money. So we do have boards that we have decided are experts and should be paid.
Yeah.
So we it's not unprecedented.
But just for my own opinion, if you read that last paragraph of mine, I'm just saying, as a ratepayer, what do I get? I get a free concert every year. And what I said there about my street, there's no money for that. We pay rates all these years. When we want something done, there's no money.
Okay. I think probably for those things, you could ring a councillor or we can look at those.
I've rung many, many times.
I think she's tried.
Okay, we'll have another go.
We'll have another look at your trees.
At your trees.
There'll be a reason, but we'll try and find out what they are, Bobby.
No money to take them down. I talked to Walter Miller many years ago. I've been talking to Mark Padgett and I'm getting nowhere.
Maybe they think they'll
Well, we'll have a fresh look at it without debating it.
Okay.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions? Thank you for coming forward, Bobby.
Thank you.
Your butcher is... Good morning, Tanya.
So for councillors, please, it is submission number 729, page 87.
Your Worship, the Moon, councillors, ladies and gentlemen, tēnā koutou katoa. Takuingawa Tania Heneho Butcher. My tribal affiliations are Ngāti Whakaue, Ngāti Pikiao Te Arawa, Tainui, Maniapoto, Waikato, Ngāti Pāua, Ngāti Raukawa and Ngāti Woku. On my Pākehā side, I wasn't going to mention this, but I've been listening to some of these submissions, and I really have to say this. On my Pākehā side, my ancestral homes include England, Scotland, Denmark, and proudly of Jewish ancestry. My interests in the partnership debate is in support of Te Arawa proposal, insofar as it will give us an opportunity to assist in the building of a better future for Rotorua. My submission is about partnership and the promise of cooperation and how I have used partnership reasonably. It is also a submission to remind us of honour, the integrity of an agreement between two dominant diverse cultures. In essence, it is about the Honourable Act on behalf of Whakaue Te Arawa in cooperation with the Crown to build a township here for all citizens. Both partners had every intention to build a township for citizens who desire to live and thrive in a wonderful environment of lakes, thermal, pristine spring waters, mountains and forests. An idyllic paradise that would grow a decent society within a system of justice and fairness. The debate with Council for Te Arawa participation and decisions involving the land has been around for decades, and this is the year for the partnership to take root in the home of our tipuna, both Te Arawa and Pākehā. For example, the selection process for Te Arawa representation on matters of interest to Māori at territorial authority level is crucial, given the valuable resources in land and water which nourishes and sustains us. In terms of decision-making at council level, the Te Arawa participation in policy decision-making and strategic plans are better enhanced in council with Te Arawa bringing an informed and experienced perspective. I would also add here that Te Arawa is not about destroying our whenua and waters, mountains and forests and precious bird life, but in preserving it for future generations without compromising the economic benefits of the region. Kia ora. Now, Councillor Kent.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you for your submission, Tania.
Can I
just clarify the final sentence in your written submission? You actually state there that you prefer option one, which is actually the status quo. I understand from what you've been saying, in actual fact, you possibly mean option two, which is the partnership model. Is that correct?
It is the model that is actually being proposed by Te Arawa.
Okay, so that's actually option two, not option one. But thank you. My second question is, what is your views of past performance of the Te Arawa Standing Committee? And secondly, if the Te Arawa Standing Committee was properly listened to and Te Arawa's views were properly listened to by this council, would that achieve your objectives?
I'm actually not here to criticise representatives of Te Arawa, because, you know, for years we have tried different models in trying to look after our own people, because we have not had the support in the past that we appear to be getting now lately. So, you know, I'm sorry I can't answer you that question. I can't. All I can say positively is that I'm pleased that they were here.
Thank you for submission, Tania. Do you think the Te Arawa partnership model would best suit the Rotomar people, or do you think there's a better solution out there?
Well, I would say that it would suit all of the region, because as you had seen my whakapapa, I'm not the only one that shares that whakapapa. There are many, in fact thousands, of Te Arawa people that share that whakapapa. And our whakapapa links right in to those areas, including Kawerau.
Thank you, Tania. Could you just clarify again what benefits you see in Te Arawa debating at the committee level?
I think that Te Arawa has... Sorry, I could see him from the side of my eye, so I didn't want to be rude and carry on. Question again, please.
Sorry, Tania, yes. Just clarify what additional benefits you see with Te Arawa debating at the committee level as opposed to the Te Arawa Standing Committee.
Te Arawa, actually, we don't work independently. We work as a tribe. And any decisions that are made usually come from the marae, and they're not taken lightly. So, they work on a consensus basis. We work on a consensus basis. In other words, everyone has to agree what is to be said out here. It's not something you do independently. So I would say that if you if our people come to the table, if we come to the table to agree on anything, it will be with the backing of the tribe.
My apologies to you. I didn't intend to interrupt you.
Just said I have very good peripheral vision.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the mayor doesn't
exactly look in one way.
I take on board your comments in your submission, Tania, that you want a better future for Rotorua.
Absolutely.
And you thought that that would occur through the Fenton Agreement, which is the basis of that. Now, the other thing I really wanted to ask, did I pick up from your submission that you want a Te Arawa presence, not just a token involvement, but one from an expert focus on matters pertaining to and needing a Te Arawa focus?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
To be no more questions. Thank you very much, Tania, for coming to the table. We now move on to Rhys. Is Rhys? Oh, great, Rhys. Thank you. Rhys, you weren't here before, but do bring the microphone close to you because people at the back like to hear you.
Sure.
Thank you. So this is submission 730 on page 89.
So I'll just read verbatim from my submission, if that's acceptable. So to whom it may concern, I would like to express my views in regards to the Council's proposed Te Arawa partnership model. After reading the proposal, I am extremely concerned that you, the Rotorua Lakes Council, would consider the Te Arawa partnership model to be democratic. I was under the belief that we lived in a democratic society, but am, much to my disgust, having to begrudgingly change my views. Our ancestors who fought in two major world wars did so in part to protect our country and its inhabitants from the ideas of others that may have taken away our freedom as a nation. Democracy is one of our rights in this beautiful country of ours. And as such, I want to feel that my vote and the person or people I am voting for are elected in this democratic process. They are then able to be held accountable for the decisions they are helping to make on our behalf and shouldn't be able to have a self-serving view, but rather a view to helping those that elected them to this position for the betterment of the community. So my letter can be condensed to several simple statements as to how I feel about the proposed Te Arawa partnership model. Firstly, the idea of having unelected people representing me and my rate-paying family on council and making decisions on our behalf is unacceptable. I need to feel that the democratic process favours us, and this way certainly does not. This leaves the process open to people with their own agendas making decisions that would possibly only benefit themselves or parties they may be personally representing. Secondly, I don't want an imbalance or disproportionate amount of power going to any one group. I believe this only leads to members taking advantage of this imbalance and possibly making self-serving decisions that may be advantageous only to a select interest group or individual. Thirdly, I oppose the Te Arawa Partnership Plan and do not want options 2 or 3. As I said earlier in my letter, I strongly believe in democracy and only want elected members representing me on my council and associated committees to avoid disproportionate power favouring any particular interest group. Fourthly, I want everyone to be able to contribute fairly to any decision-making process. Any model that leaves the possibility of a disproportionate amount of power going to any one group negates the democratic process and leaves the model open for exploitation from members that may have self-serving motives. I have served on committees myself for several organisations, and it is glaringly obvious when members are there for their own political agendas instead of the betterment of the organisation. This tends to happen when members volunteer for the role rather than being elected by a wider community. I strongly prefer the democratic governance model for the aforementioned reasons, and if this is taken to a referendum, will be the option me and my family will select. So to summarise my letter, I only want the council subcommittees to advise our elected councillors who will then make the necessary decisions on our behalf. Those councillors will be elected by the ratepayers and citizens of the city to represent us fairly. In the perfect world, this would be preferably done in a non-self-serving and a transparent manner. But unfortunately, this is not necessarily been the case in the past and obviously may not be the standard for the future either. But as an advocate of democracy and an eternal optimist, one can only hope and dream for a better model for the future. This is definitely not to be found in the Te Arawa partnership model that I'm vehemently opposed to. Yours sincerely, Rhys Pargeter.
Rhys, and we open now for questions. You can relax.
Okay.
Do we have any questions? Yes, Councillor.
Thanks for coming in, Rhys, and letting us know how you feel.
No problem.
I was surprised. I just wondered, you mentioned that you don't believe that in the past. I just want to make sure I'm interpreting it properly.
Just historically, I would say, not necessarily the Rotorua District Council, the Lakes Council.
Oh, okay. It's just you're saying that people have been self-serving and haven't done things transparently. So I just wonder.
I'm just talking from a political basis, probably more historically that.
I'm certainly not talking about the existing council.
I absolutely respect everyone that's here, and I'm not talking about a personal basis here of anyone in this room, but just historically,
okay.
You know, we've seen proof in the past of, you know, people that may be there for the wrong reasons.
I totally agree that can happen at times, and I was just looking perhaps if there was some particular example that you were wanting to raise.
Sorry, if that was misunderstood, I apologise. I apologise for that.
Looking in a world.
Just in a greater, grander scheme of things.
Councillor Hunt and then Councillor Gould.
Thank you, Rhys. I just, halfway through your submission, you talk about an imbalance and possibly making self-serving decisions.
Yes.
At the committee level, there will be 13 elected representatives and two, if the proposal goes forward as it's presented, two Te Arawa. Can you explain how you see that as an imbalance?
My concern being that we may have people that might have a self-serving agenda of some sort. You know, say, all I'm looking for is a fair representation. If we have the opportunity to vote for these people, then at least for some purpose or process, someone along the line has believed in them, believed in their theories, believed in what they're standing for, and has elected them fairly. My concern is that if we have non-elected people there, they might be representing maybe a belief system or something that might be entirely self-serving, and that's my concern when I'm talking about.
So the fact that decision is then sent to council from the committee,
yep,
and is only made by the councillors, how do you then feel about that? Because then you've only got the elected people, as you've requested, making that final decision.
That's really what I'm asking for. Like I say, maybe a little bit of background's required for the reason that I'm here. I was brought up in a very strict religious upbringing, which gave me handed my belief systems to me. And I never really had the opportunity to sort of make my own mind ups. But since I've come away from that, I really appreciate the opportunity to be a free-thinking sort of person. And I appreciate the democratic society that we live in. You know, where everyone has the opportunity to put their hand up, run for election, and have general members of the public voting for them. That's all I'm asking. If we have people on the council that have been voted for and only voted for and not put there for whatever reason, and they're making decisions on my behalf, I can't ask for much more than that. I'm not sure if that answers your question or not.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Rhys, for your report. In the reports that the Council's got on page 89, she's got firstly the idea of having unelected people representing me and my ratepayer family on Council committees. Would you take the Tourism Committee, where no councillors are on that committee,
mm-hmm,
and yet we've got specialist people in the tourism industry on that committee telling council what's the best way to promote Rotorua? Would you make an exception of those that type of case?
Look, to be fair, that's an advisory capacity you're talking about. They're not if they're giving their opinions in an advisory capacity to the council to then be elected on, I don't have any problems with that at all.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for coming. Now we have still got time for another submission. If there is anybody in the afternoon that would like to come forward now. If not, we'll break for lunch. But sometimes some feel comfortable. There appears not to be, so we'll reconvene. Perhaps we reconvene a little bit earlier. Yeah, cool. But then submitters may not be here. Let's reconvene as scheduled at 1 o'clock. Thank you, councillors.
Thank you.